My guest in the studio completed a degree in music performance at the Australian Institute of Music in 2010. Her recently released debut recording, If This Were a Dream, debuted at number 5 on the ARIA Jazz album charts and has sold steadily ever since. As jazz legend James Morrison puts it, Frances has a wonderful feeling for jazz and blues standards, but what makes her a real standout are her original songs and her unique style. Frances Medden, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
At what point in life did you make the decision to become a singer?
I think it was one day when my dad brought home an album that was Diana Krall Live in Paris. And up until that point, I'd listened to a lot of the record collection at home, which had a very big variety of music, everything from Bach to the Beatles and Van Morrison and all of the great songwriters as well as jazz singers. But it wasn't until I heard this live album of Diana Krall's, and I think just the amazing piano playing with the arrangements, but also just the energy that you get on a live album. I think I just heard that and I was like, wow, someone's actually doing this as a job. And I thought, well, why not? So it sort of took that, I think that planted the seed. And
How old were you at the time?
I was probably about 15.
Right.
And I'd been playing classical piano since I was about 5, and I'm doing my grades and had a very strict Russian teacher and all that, and he was wonderful. But by the time I got to uni, I'd started to just sort of naturally sing along with my playing as well, and then when I went to the Australian Institute of Music, I think that what I was playing branched out more into the music that I'd been listening to, so the jazz and the blues and things like that. It's just been going ever since.
Who was your abiding influence in your family to encourage you during those formative years?
Both my parents were very encouraging, and you know, considering how unstable a job being an artist can be, they've both been wonderful. People ask sometimes, like, do either of them play an instrument, and did it sort of come from anywhere? Because actually my brothers and sisters also play instruments, and I think that we'd probably be quite a musical family altogether. But actually the mum and dad didn't play instruments, but I think we've just grown up in an environment where they have a very big appreciation for music and a broad range at that, so that's definitely kind of inspired me to continue it and to develop a love for it.
What about your major influences in music? You mentioned the Diana Krall, and but there must be others, and are they always singers or are they sometimes instrumentalists?
Instrumentalists. They're not always singers, although I'd say Ella Fitzgerald is probably, I've listened to, you know, when you get to the point when you listen to an album so much and you can guess the next track that's coming and sometimes even the key that it's in, I can do that to a few of her albums. But yeah, I guess there's a few other people that I do listen to, especially in terms of songwriting. As I mentioned before, I think I said Van Morrison. I mean, I think he's a wonderful songwriter because he has such a unique voice, and he actually has a really wide range of music in the stuff that he writes. Like, some of it is swinging and some of it's groovy, and yet it all seems to have this sort of unique thread that ties it together and makes it his own, and I really admire that. And also all of the great musical songwriters like Rodgers and Hammerstein. I've listened to a lot of their things, and I think that's sort of inspired me as well.
You've got a couple of standards on your album, but just generally when you're singing standards, do you have a certain approach to them? Like, do you explore the origins of that particular tune before you sort of bring your own flavour to it?
Yeah, I think so. I do that most of the time. I mean, sometimes I just feel like picking up the tune and making my own interpretation of it without sort of getting too thoughtful about it. But there are times when I've sort of looked up the background of it, and I think that has a little impact on the way that I interpret it. But the songs on the album, the covers that we did, you know, I tried to pick ones that we really did have that I'd sort of had my own take on, so that it was something new, even though we were taking something old. Yeah, just to sort of make it unique, but it still sort of fits with the rest of my originals and the style of it.
Tell us about how the album came about. It's called If This Were a Dream, independently released. Tell us about the process of how this came about, and where do you want to take it?
Well, when I was maybe a year or two ago now, I had a demo album of my original songs, and it just ended up in the hands of Judy Morrison, who was a friend of a mutual friend, and I think she enjoyed my original songs, and she showed it to her husband James Morrison, and then they both got in touch with me. It was actually over Facebook. It was just this little message that came from Judy Morrison, but I was a bit excited to see that, as you can imagine. They were really supportive, and they basically offered, they invited me to come and record at their studio in Warriewood, which is a really wonderful studio, and quite new, I think, as well. And so we went in with the intention to record maybe two or three of my original songs and sort of get an EP together. But after a day or two, we thought, well, why not record a few more songs and just make it an album? And that sort of happened over the course of a year, actually. It was quite a long process. But after that, I ended up with 14 tracks, and 13 of them made it onto the album that you see here.
Pretty good stroke, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully that last one will make it onto the next one.
On the very thought of you, this is one of the standards from the album. Tell us a little bit about what you like about this particular track, and how you've approached it.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, Ella Fitzgerald is a big influence for me vocally, and she has a version of this song with her big band that's really beautiful. And when I was putting the songs for the album together, I just sat down at the piano one day and I started playing the song. And actually, it wasn't really with the intention of putting it on the album. It was just sort of, I was just practicing or something. And I've listened to that version a lot, so I know the horn lines. And I tried to sort of mimic them on the piano. And so that's what this version is. It's like a trio reduction of the big band version.
Condensed into the, the sound. That some of these pieces have taken you quite some time to actually compose and record. Does the art of composing come easy to you, do you think?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think it can, and then it, for a while, and then it doesn't. It really depends. And from what I've heard of other artists as well, it really just depends on, I don't know what it is, maybe it's luck or the mood that you're in, and just whether or not you're connected with your sort of emotions and you're feeling, and you're in a spot where you can get them out onto a piece of paper or express them through the music. So it does vary. Sometimes they come very easily, and the words and the music come out together, and then sometimes I'm working on the song for a few weeks, and then I just leave it for a couple of months and come back and try and finish it. Yeah.
So you're giving yourself that breathing space and maybe a fresh approach.
Just like cooling off period.
Now, there's been a bit of a renaissance, I think, in the popularity of female jazz singers in recent years. What do you think has driven that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what would drive that, but I do think it's a wonderful thing because, being a young female in the jazz circuit, sometimes it has felt, obviously you feel outnumbered, because especially I think that there are many more male instrumentalists in the jazz world, in Sydney and probably all over the world, than there are females, and that can be intimidating, and it's also intimidating because it's not just the musicians, but it's also the people who run the organisations that support the musicians and sponsor them. They're usually run by men. I mean, that's a generalisation, but I have found that, and I think, speaking to other younger female artists as well, there is a sense of intimidation, and so I think it's a lovely thing that they are making a bit of a revival, and they're sort of finding new ways to interpret old things and make them new again. And I think all of the festivals that happen in Europe and in the US are really great, because it just sort of helps spread the word and gives the artists an opportunity to sort of get out there. And that's definitely something that I'd love to do with my band in the near future, because I think it would open up quite a few doors as well. So
Sandy Evans said to me many years ago that she felt that jazz was a very masculine art form. Mm. So I think you're probably right in saying
what you've
just said.
I think I agree with
that. And so I wanted to know whether you've experienced any hurdles in this music that you wouldn't have if you were a male.
That's a difficult question. I think it's hard to say, because I think there have been times when, from a business point of view, and I've approached different jazz organisations, and I have felt a bit, maybe ostracised is too strong a word, but I have felt like where I expected to sort of get help, it actually hasn't been there. And I'm not sure, it could partly be because of the style of music, because my music actually does sort of cross over. You know, it's not just pure jazz, it's got pop and it's got and blues, and I try and put a variety in there so that it crosses over. So I guess it could have been because of that, and sometimes maybe it was because I was just a female, and I don't know. Do you think that there's a perception of some male musicians to sort of not take them as seriously? Because obviously jazz, when you practice it, you've got to have a strong drive to be the best and to drive the level, to improve the level of the improvisation, because it really is a big thing about technique and how well you can express yourself on the instrument. And I think guys are much better at, because they tend to have that competitive streak in them, and they tend to, they respond well to being pushed, and so I think that they sort of naturally can get a bit further with their instruments, and that's maybe what makes them a bit more common as jazz musicians. Whereas being a female, I think the reason why a lot of us end up being singers is because we're really good at connecting what we're feeling into our voice and expressing that. And I think people have said before that they much prefer women singing ballads, for example, because they have that ability to sort of connect through the voice just that little bit more than male. So,
yeah. You could be right there. You must be very pleased to have such a great bunch of musicians on this album.
Yeah, no, it's great. I got to work with some really great people, and one of them was Ray Kassar, who plays flugelhorn and trumpet, and he definitely brought his own sort of style to it. And Ian Cooper did some arrangement on one of my original songs. He did a string arrangement and played it as well, which was beautiful. And then on a few of the tracks, Tim Firth is playing drums, which he's a lovely guy and he's a wonderful drummer. And then my good friend Harry Day played on them as well. So there's quite a mixture of musicians, and, some young, some old. And it was really good. Sometimes it just brought energy, and sometimes it brought the sort of experience that you need with that kind of thing. So.
And what are the most important elements for you when you're interpreting a song?
Yeah, I think, especially as a singer interpreting a song, that the lyrics and the meaning of the music is really important, and just like how that flows with the music. But I think when I get read a new song, I just sort of maybe listen to a few interpretations and then maybe sort of think briefly about what the words mean, but it really, the interpretation more just comes through playing it over and over again, until I've sort of felt comfortable enough that I don't have to think about the technique or anything. Mm-hmm. And that's when the interpretation starts to come out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what can we expect from Francis Madden in the short term? Where do you want to, you mentioned you want to go to Europe. Have you got any other plans on releasing this live music we're about to hear?
Yeah, I'd love to do a live album. I think that there's something in the live recordings that's just so hard to capture in the studio. So we'll actually be recording this gig on Saturday, and hopefully we'll get a few tracks from that. So, and then we have another live gig coming up later in the year at Foundry in December, which I'll hopefully record as well. Along with a few past years, hopefully we'll have enough tracks. to make an album from. And I definitely would love to tour. I mean, the band and I just got back from our first sort of mini tour to Melbourne, where we did 3 gigs at a few of the coolest and sort of intimate jazz clubs. One of them was the Paris Cat Jazz Club,
mm-hmm.
Which was as sort of cool and sultry as the name sounds.
Yes.
And it was really successful. That one actually sold out, and everyone seemed to love the show. So we definitely would love to go back down to Melbourne, because the music scene there is great. And hopefully continue doing festivals and things like that.
Well, thanks very much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.